Baseball. America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus. Baseball, America's game.
Of the most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball.
She is gone.
Comes home.
Hey, is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Okay, I made it. Strike up the band, the band can stop playing, either one. I don't care. I'm here. I made it. All kinds of flying all around, but I'm here. So I discovered that I was having a headphone issue when I was in Green Bay, and I thought it might be the equipment because the equipment was super old. No, as it turns out, it's actually my headphones. So time to invest in some new headphones. But that is not the problem. There's no problem. That is not, it's not going to impede the show because, no, I'm good, Jay. I'm good. I'll just use them. I'm fine. I used them for the last two nights. I can use them tonight too. But I did make it back here. It was not easy. Oy. As I was leaving our Green Bay affiliate on what would have been Tuesday morning after doing the show, 5 a.m. Central Time, there's this gorgeous, and I mean, jaw-dropping, beautiful lightning storm happening off to, I guess it would have been off to the west. Well, that same lightning storm brought massive thunderstorms, and they lasted for hours. So as you can imagine, a lot of morning flights were pushed back, including mine. As you can imagine, a lot of people were freaking out because the flights from Appleton, Wisconsin generally go to Detroit or Minneapolis or Chicago, and then people have to catch connections. Oh, yes. So it was one of those kinds of mornings where there are hundreds of people in line trying to get their connecting flights changed. That would include me. Initially was in line, and the women who offered to look at the various options, she said, don't worry, you're going to make your connection. I knew I wasn't, but she said, well, just get to Chicago. You'll be able to find a flight there. Also, didn't seem like a great option, but I decided I would go ahead and call instead. Thankfully, I did, because the woman offered me a flight that wasn't a great option, and I get on the phone, and the customer service agent on the phone actually gave me a much better option. So it was one of those kind of travel days, 12 hours essentially from the time I got off the air until the time I got home. And while I still haven't discovered the superpower of being able to sleep straight through on planes, I'm pretty sure from the time the guy next to me ordered his salami sandwich, I remember smelling the salami for a second. And then the next thing I know, I'm hearing an announcement about how we're getting set to land. We've begun our initial descent into Newark. So I survived. It was not a great travel day, but I know many people can empathize with that. And I would just like to add the disclaimer to the show. Not only can I only hear you and me and everyone else out of one of my headphones, but I cannot be held responsible for what stupid things or new words I might create on this show. Because it's the second time in, oh gosh, 4 days I've only had 3 hours of sleep. So you can, you can be glued to the radio or your phone app or the podcast and hope that I'm highly entertaining on this show. Or maybe you can be really supportive and encouraging. And if I say something stupid, you could just pretend like it didn't happen. Just nod and smile. It'll be great. We're going to get through this, I think. Only one of us has to talk for 4 hours today. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It actually becomes a lot simpler and more manageable to do this job when you have humongous headlines and moments in the world of sports, which we do on this edition of the show. So we're going to get to those. Plus, it's the chance to exhale after the football weekend. It's also our hump show, which means that you get to ask Amy anything. So all of that wrapped up with, well, who knows? Like I said, what else might potentially come out of my mouth? I'm trying to teach producer Jay why autumn starts officially at 9:04 p.m. Eastern on Thursday evening. He's not paying attention to me right now. So if I ask him this question out of the blue, he's going to have no idea what I'm saying. Hey, producer Jay, did you figure out why autumn starts at 9:04 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday evening?
I did find out that it's when the Earth is tilted on its furthest axis and closest to the sun. But why exactly it takes place at 9:04, I guess that's just the way the universe made it. Is there a better answer?
It has to do with the speed of the Earth and the way that it's spinning and the way that it's tilting. And it has to do with the sun. Exactly. We don't control those things. We just know when it happens.
I just think it's just a random time. Like, why not just make it happen at 12?
Because you don't control the sun or the Earth.
But like, couldn't we if we really wanted to?
No. Also, like, your head looks like a camera, so you got to fix that. I can't see your face. Although right now, I don't really want to see your face as you try to explain to me why the sun should cater to your need to have a more appropriate and neat time for autumn to officially begin.
I'm not saying it has to. It just, you know, it'd be nice. Just start on a clean day, fresh slate. Like, all right, this day at 12 o'clock Eastern or new day, like, we'll start this.
Except that's not how it works. That's not why we go from summer to autumn. What? This is like when producer Jay tried to convince me that lavender was a color and that the color came first and the plant came second. They named the plant after the color.
Okay, I don't think I tried to convince you.
Yeah,
that,
you
that
did.
Happened.
You actually did try to tell me that you were pretty sure that it was a color and that the plant came after that because the color of the flowers was the color of lavender.
I don't know. I'd die on that hill.
Would you? That it's supposed to be a color before it's a plant? Oh my gosh. This is what I have to work with. Do you see what I have to work with here? Also, he ate my dinner. How was my dinner?
You offered.
Okay, but I didn't know you were going to eat the whole... Okay, to be fair, my dinner was goldfish. It's one of those kinds of days where you're lucky that you're upright. Forget, like, what you eat for dinner or whether or not your right headphone works. Anybody got a spare set of headphones in your car? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is indeed the Hump Right in Your Face Show. Hump Show. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. See, the problem is when I get this kind of tired and goofy, poor producer Jay gets caught in the crossfire. And then I feel bad because I think we're just having fun. And he, I don't know, I got to be careful that I don't hurt his feelings. Am I hurting your feelings?
Yeah, I'm so sensitive.
I mean, a little bit. Boys are much more sensitive than
boys
girls.
Now, generalization.
Yes, you know me and my stereotypes. So it's the Hump Show, which means that you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Producer Jay already put up a spot. I would tell you that I could retweet it, but I can't actually get into any of the websites that are right now just because, it's one of those kind of crazy evenings of preparation as well. And so just nothing is the way that it's supposed to be. And generally when I try logging into Twitter while I'm talking, it doesn't work. See what I mean? My password is too complicated and it just doesn't work when I'm actually, oh, I did it. Never mind. Scratch all of that. I'm brilliant. So you can send your questions. Oh my gosh, Jay's already shaking his head. We're 7 minutes into the show and you're already shaking your head at me like, oh man, this is going to be one heck of a night.
I was just agreeing with your I'm brilliant statement.
That's why you really were shaking your head like no.
No, it was more of like a up and down.
When are you getting popcorn?
Yeah, I saw that. White cheddar or butter is the big question.
I'm all about butter popcorn. Like movie theater butter popcorn.
All right.
Can we do that? Did you bring some extra butter? There might be butter in this building.
Yeah, from like 2018 probably.
It's a building butter. Oh, gross. That's so gross.
It's probably likely.
Oh, no. Speaking of things left in refrigerators, which we, that's kind of where my brain went next, is to see if there was butter left. My house sitter randomly left things in my refrigerator in my kitchen. I don't know why.
Again?
Yes. Well, so the first time she left items in my refrigerator, it was fresh food, right? And it was food that she was going to use, weirdly enough, when she came back for this trip. So I go to my mom's, go to Texas. She stays for 5.5 days. And then a week and a half later, she's at my house again because I'm in Wisconsin. So remember I told you she left fresh chicken in the fridge?
Right.
So there's no way it was going to be fresh in 10 days. So I put it in the freezer. I told her about it. But do you know what's still in my freezer? Her chicken and her waffles, her Lego waffles.
Waffles.
They're Lego waffles, right? No, wait, what's the pop-up ones? Eggo. Oh, Eggo. Sorry.
I thought they were like Lego-themed Eggo waffles, which would be awesome.
No, sorry. They're Eggo. That sounds weird now. They're Eggo waffles.
Lego my Eggo.
So there's, right, that's right.
That's
so they're Eggo waffles, which I've never eaten in my entire life. I've never had one Eggo waffle in my whole life. Would you like them? I should have brought those for you for dinner.
How long have they been in there?
Couple weeks? Since she was at my house, yeah. Oh, do they go bad in the freezer?
I don't think so, actually.
No.
They probably have a really long shelf life.
That's the point of being in the freezer, is they don't go bad because they're frozen.
Do we have a toaster here?
Probably, but I don't know. I mean, there might be crumbs in there from 2018. Anyway, so there's Legos, there's Eggo waffles and chicken in my freezer that's not mine.
I would get rid of the chicken.
And, no, the chicken's frozen. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know why I'm having this conversation with you. And then there in my refrigerator, there are her salad dressing and her pasta sauce. And she left her... Okay, this is nasty. Her sponge that she was using to wash dishes, she left it on my counter. And it's got food on it.
Oh.
And it's icky. No. And I immediately put it in the trash. And then I wrote to her and I was like, hey, do you want any of this stuff that she left
in my house?
Do you
want your care for your sponge?
Anyway, a friend of mine asked me how my new house sitter worked out. And I said, well, the pets are still alive. Penny got her meds. The house didn't burn down. But she was a little messy.
There's just sponges all over the place.
No, just one, but it had food on it.
That's nasty.
Oh.
I wouldn't have touched it.
Well, I had to put it in the trash.
Gloves, mask. I don't know. Suck it up with a vacuum. I don't know.
Whatever. When was the last time you wore a mask?
It's been a minute. Thank
you. Thankfully. I don't even know where mine are now. I think I had a mask burning party. Anyway, that's the kind of night it's going to be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, but you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Actually, kind of neat. In the last 24 hours or so, I've heard from people who have just discovered the show for the first time. New listener named Stuart. First time listening. Really enjoying the show. Which makes me feel a little bit better about whatever it was that I was spewing from Green Bay. Because, you know, I was pretty upside down in Green Bay. But it was a good trip. And many of you were really kind to send me tweets and Facebook messages about Grammy and about the family and about hearing my stories. And so I don't have any new stories except for travel stories. And those aren't nearly as much fun as Grammy Helen stories. So your questions for Ask Amy Anything to either Twitter or our Facebook page. And we'll get to that in our third hour because that's what we've decided. We're going back to it. Also on this edition of the show, QB news, because it's back. Jay, it's back. Okay, which one are you more excited about? Let's be honest. Straw poll. Tom Brady on Let's Go. Let's go! Or your boy with the haircut. Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee. Which one? Just be honest.
I don't want to claim him as my boy, but I got to say I'm a little more excited for Aaron on McAfee. That's where he really feels, I feel like he's the most in his element and he kind of just spews and lets loose, lets his guard down.
Or he just likes to hear himself talk.
Maybe that too, but it's some good content.
It's an opportunity for him to be the center of attention again. Also, my uncle is convinced his haircut is the reason why the Packers stink. I swear. So this is the uncle who's the son to the grandmother that I just lost who, you know, never thought the Packers were trying hard enough. So now my Uncle Tom is convinced that his haircut is the reason why they're not a good team.
I don't think it's the craziest theory.
You don't?
It's not the craziest
he's
thing
like
I've
Samson,
heard.
You cut off his hair and he's just not an MVP anymore.
Whatever he's got going on in his head, Aaron Rodgers, right now, is there a name for it? He's got like the catfish going two little hooks on the back of his hair. I don't know.
I mean, you're a guy. I don't do haircuts like that. So what? I just know there's two strands of hair sticking out on either side behind his ears underneath his hat. Like they're long pieces of hair.
I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't get it. I don't think it should catch on.
Well, see, since you're a guy, you can say that. So, I mean, that's good news. I feel much better about that.
I prefer the man bun over that. I would.
If you ever do a man bun, that's the end.
I thought about it a couple months ago when my hair was long enough.
No, I can't. I can't possibly do a show looking at you in a man bun.
Now we have to.
It's not happening. Did I not tell you that when I asked you to be the lead producer on the show, the only producer on the show, that man buns are deal breakers? This is like the New York Yankees. You cannot have facial hair. Or did they relax that? Did they actually get rid of that rule?
That's a good rule. No man buns here.
No man buns here. I'm sorry. The man that I work with on the show, and I would love to hire a female producer, so watch your back. The man who works on the show cannot have longer hair than me. That's not a thing. We don't do that around here.
I think we're safe with that.
Okay.
Although when I was in high school, we would have had something. We would have had an issue.
Yeah. Speaking of high school and photos, I went through a lot of those and the hairstyles that I had when I was in the 80s and 90s. Oh, dear. So I can do this. We can do this. Headphones be damned. Lack of sleep be damned. Jamal sends me this tweet. No sweat. We will take you on 3 hours sleep before we got to head somewhere else. You and Jay rock together. Oh, look at that. It's a compliment for you. Because, you know, you don't get enough from me.
Or anybody.
Oh, please. Oh, my gosh. All right. I just rolled my eyes involuntarily. Producer Jay gets his ego built up plenty by me. I don't want to hear it. And I gave you all of my goldfish dinner.
You did. That's actions right there. Those are nicer than words.
Do I get credit even though it wasn't actually intentional? I wasn't planning to give you my whole dinner, but it just disappeared.
You didn't stop
You're
me,
like a
so.
Hoover with goldfish.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. That's a black hole.
I get that a lot.
I do.
All right, we're going to start fresh because I can do this. I'm so sorry. If this is the kind of show that you hate, the good news is there are about a bazillion other podcast and radio options. And you can just tune in tomorrow after I've had some sleep. It's just the hump show. It's just how we do things around here. Don't call. Please don't call. I don't think I can handle that. Send your questions for Ask Amy coming up. We'll get to the moment that people will be talking about for the next 24 hours. It was one of those that people want to say, I was there when. And actually, some pretty special guests were in the house as it happened. I'll explain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Swung on it. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. All right. Here comes the Judge.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't worry, we're going to hear it again many times. You're going to hear it again many times over the course of these next couple hours, but also through the day on Wednesday, because he did it. Aaron Judge, who, along with Albert Pujols, are both chasing history. And right now, their at-bats are worth watching. Whether it's the ninth inning and the Yankees are losing in their own stadium because they gave up 4 runs to the Pittsburgh Pirates in the top of the eighth, or whether it's just because. Whether it's a blowout win and Judge is still in the game and fans have to stick around to watch as he chases that single season Yankees record and single season American League record of 61 home runs in one season by Roger Maris. And when I tell you there were special guests in the stands, this is really neat. Roger Maris Jr. was in the stands at Yankee Stadium for tonight's game. And Kevin Maris. So two sons of Roger Maris were there to witness Aaron's tying Babe Ruth and coming within one of their dad's club record and American League record. And it's become a big thing now. Specially marked baseballs are used each time that Aaron Judge walks to the plate. And initially, it was foul balls. It was missed opportunities. And we know, I'm not ripping on Aaron. He's had a great season. But the first three at-bats came up empty. Actually, similar to what we saw from a lot of the Yankees, right? Because this was a game in which the Pirates had the upper hand. But the ninth inning happened, the magic happened, and I wonder how many people left early. Oy. I actually saw this. It's kind of funny, and I don't know who wrote it. I wouldn't out her anyway. But there was a story on Twitter that was retweeted by someone that I follow. A reporter had decided to go watch a game in which Albert Pujols and the Cardinals were playing. She left early. She went because she thought she might be a witness to history. She had a ticket for the game in which Albert hit, I think 697 was the number. But she left the stadium early and missed it. And wrote a piece about how fans should never leave stadiums early. So if you left Yankee Stadium early thinking that the Pirates had taken the upper hand in the eighth inning and this was no longer a contest, you wanted to beat the traffic, you wanted to beat the crowds on the subway, you had to get home for work the next day. Oh, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's our hump day. And again, Aaron Judge at bat with the Yankees trailing by four in the bottom of the ninth against the Pirates.
Here's the 3-1. Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
At the time, it was a solo shot in the ninth and, you know, still down by a couple runs, but this team, we've always had a never-die attitude and, you know, fight till the end. And then you got four guys right behind me with great at-bats, one after the other against a great closer, and makes it that much sweeter, that's for sure.
What is Aaron Judge talking about? Oh, well, his run wasn't the end, but it came on a 3-1 count off Will Crow, who ends up becoming a piece of history as he gives up that 60th home run in 2022 to Aaron Judge.
You know, I got to go get it. I got to go after him. And that's what I was trying to do. I just made a bad pitch. Put it right, threw it right down the middle. Started away. Should have started. I was trying to go in. You know, who knows what he does if I throw it 6 inches farther inside.
Oh, well, hindsight is 20/20, you know, but hindsight doesn't give you that moment back. So Judge joins an exclusive club. Only six players have ever blasted 60 home runs in a single campaign. Would you like to name them just for fun? I feel like some of them are pretty easy right off the top. No? I'm asking you, Producer Jay. Oh. I'm not looking at the guy behind you. This is just for you because you are a big baseball guy.
Let's see. Babe Ruth.
Yes.
Roger Maris.
Yes.
Griffey, did he get to 60 at any time? No.
No.
McGuire, Sosa.
Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, yes.
Bonds.
And Barry Bonds.
That's it.
Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Boom! I'm so proud of you. Sometimes you get nervous when we put you on the spot, but...
Yeah.
Well, not we. I try not to. Actually, sometimes I do just for fun, but... I know whenever I ask Jay about a particular host who fills in, he says to me, he always puts me on the spot. I'm busy and all of a sudden he's talking to me and then I don't know what we're talking about. But I'd give you sufficient time to soak it all in.
At least you could see me, yeah. When he does it, he we're not in the same room, so I'm taking phones.
It's a
mess.
It's just a disaster behind the double pane glass. I'm so proud of you. Way to go.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I feel like you play fantasy baseball. This is something that you probably should be thinking about.
I mean,
did you play fantasy baseball when Roger Maris was sitting?
I wasn't even old enough to play fantasy baseball when Bonds did it.
I don't know if I was either. Well, I didn't play fantasy baseball. I guess I was old enough. Okay, so Judge joins the Hall of Famers, Roger Maris and Babe Ruth, as we've talked about. Plus, Barry Bonds had his, well, one of his power-fueled seasons in 2001, but got over 60 home runs in 2001. Mark McGwire in 98 and 99, Sammy Sosa in 98, 99, and 2001. So there have been 9 seasons of 60 home runs or more, but there have only been a half dozen players ever to accomplish what Aaron Judge just did. And here's the fun part. Now, he didn't want to come out and do a curtain call, but the crowd wouldn't stop, right? It's still bottom of the ninth. They're still trailing because it was a solo shot. And behind him, the Yankees rallied. And Judge says they just continued to have quality at bats, until it was Giancarlo Stanton's turn.
Swung on, drilled to deep left. That ball is going to be gone. A grand slam to win the game. A no one out, bases loaded, grand slam, bottom of the ninth. And the Yankees have come back in the ninth inning with 5 runs to win the game 9-8. Stanton finally delivered a bullet line drive in the left field seats. Giancarlo, non si può scapparlo. A Stantonian home run, a bullet line drive in the left field seats. What an inning.
Sparked all of us. It helped us get this win, and he's been doing it all year. He's the man. And he's not done, so we got plenty left, and he's going to put on a show for everybody in here.
That's Giancarlo Stanton on Yes Network following his walk-off grand slam. So he has the blast that gives the Yankees the win, but of course all attention is on Aaron Judge with home run number 60, one shy of Roger Maris and the American League single-season mark.
I don't think about it. I don't think about the numbers. And, you know, when you talk about Ruth and Maris and Mantle and all these, you know, Yankees greats that, you know, did so many great things in this game. You know, you never imagine as a kid, you know, getting mentioned with them. But, you know, it's an incredible honor. Getting a chance to play baseball at Yankee Stadium, you know, in a packed house, you know, on a first place team. You know, that's what you dream about. You know, I love every second of it. You know, even when we're down, you know, you don't like losing. But I knew the top of the lineup coming up, you know, we got a shot to come back here and do something special.
It's been awesome. It's been awesome to watch him go to this level of player. He cares so much about his job and his role and who he is on this team and who he is to his teammates. He's obviously an elite talent, all-star level player. But I think the great, great ones continue to evolve and grow and learn from their experiences, and that's what I've got to witness.
Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Boone, the rest of the Yankees, and the fan base with a front row seat. And as you can imagine, from this point forward, there will be celebrities at the stadium as well who want to be part of it. In fact, I saw photos on social media of John Calipari, just happened to be in New York, and so got tickets to the game. I'm glad I was there a couple weeks ago in the ninth row off the field just to experience the buzz whenever he came up to bat. He had 2 runs in 1 inning when I was at Yankee Stadium on a recent Saturday, but did not have a home run. But I do remember there was a long ball that he hit that was shy. I think it was maybe warning track or maybe it was a foul ball, but the crowd went nuts. It wasn't even a full capacity crowd in that moment, but people are showing up. Even if the Yankees weren't a first place team, which they are, they still are protecting that lead. It's not as fat as it was going back to, say, midseason and the All-Star break, but it's still there. They still have a 5.5 game lead, and I told you this was going to happen. The Blue Jays, the Rays, even the Orioles and Red Sox, I know they're not at this point part of the postseason picture, but those 4 teams are so competitive. They know each other so well. They're going to continue to fight and scratch and claw. It's like when you have a front runner in a race And in this case, it's the Yankees, and they're out in clean air, and the Yankees are able to go. The runner's able to go without any impediment, without worrying about being tripped up, being grabbed, being knocked over, being
right
bumped.
In front of us.
Well, except for Aaron Boone, who wants to hit someone. I'm just kidding. He doesn't. But the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Orioles, the Red Sox are all they're clutching and grabbing and pulling each other back, and there no one is able to get a full head of steam and catch up to the Yankees. So at this point, while they haven't yet won the American League East or clinched a playoff spot, they still have that 5.5 game lead. And yes, the playoffs are all but set for them. It's just a matter of whether or not they will end up winning the division. But with my apologies to the Yankees as a team, I think the bigger story right now is Aaron Judge, with the postseason still a couple weeks away. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm finally getting set up, finally feeling as though I've settled into my studio comfort zone. And at some point, I'll have to get more coffee, but I think we can do this thing. We can do this thing. It's the Hump Show, so send your questions for Ask Amy. And if you have not voted for the After Hours TD of the Week, you'll hear the candidates again coming up, and you still have a couple hours to cast your vote on either Twitter or our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center's dumping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Buffalo Bills.
Bills have McKenzie and Kumaro lined up left side on second down. The snap to Josh. Going to throw it to Diggs. Bobbles, makes the catch into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Stephon Diggs, the hat trick. His third touchdown for the Bills. And they are rolling now.
The Miami Dolphins.
Waddle in motion. Hill flank to the right. Tua shotgun. Back to throw. Looking. Steps up. Fires. Touchdown, Miami! It's Waddle. Touchdown.
Oh, my gosh. Tua looked around and came back to Waddle. What a throw and catch.
With 14 seconds left.
Oh.
His sixth touchdown pass of the day.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Carr waiting for the shotgun snap. He's got the ball. Quick throw left side. Renfro with a catch. And he breaks one tackle. Then the ball comes out. It's loose. And it's picked up by the Cardinals in midfield. It's picked up by Byron Murphy at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. Ball game! Byron Murphy picks up the ball at midfield, returns it for a touchdown, and the Cardinals win. No flags. What an unbelievable finish here in Vegas.
The New York Jets.
The ball at the Browns 15-yard line. Third down and 10. 25 seconds to go. The Jets down by 6. Flacco takes the shotgun snap and drops. Looks up the seam. Fires. Caught! Touchdown! Garrett Wilson scores! The Jets are a point after away from taking the lead with 22 seconds to go. A miracle here in Cleveland. I can't believe it.
Man, what a group. A group of incredible announcers, but what a group of magnificent moments and stunning comebacks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and After Hours CBS on Twitter. We're asking you to cast your vote if you have not already for TD of the Week. And then while you're there, of course, you can send questions for Ask Amy anything. But a couple hours left for the poll. Stephon Diggs with 3 touchdowns and well over 100 yards on Monday Night Football. That connection between he and Josh Allen is productive and dangerous. He woke up feeling dangerous. In Miami, Jalen Waddle with the go-ahead touchdown, and we get to do the Waddle. Oh my gosh, the gifs and the videos of fans doing the Waddle celebration. It's my favorite. I need to learn how to do it because you can look completely awkward and you don't have to know how to dance. You're supposed to look awkward when you do the Waddle, right? You're not supposed to look cool. It's not like the Aiden Hutchinson dance, the dancing that he does, the Michael Jackson dance. No, this is Jalen Waddle, and you're supposed to look completely stiff and awkward when you do the Waddle. But the go-ahead TD, that was Tua Tagovailoa's sixth in the game and fourth of the fourth quarter. We're going to talk about him coming off his career best performance. Also, a defensive touchdown that turned into a game winner. Byron Murphy, scoop and score, returning a fumble by Hunter Renfrow into the game winner, and it was the exclamation point for the Cardinals against the Raiders in Vegas. And finally, with Bob Wischusen on Jets radio, Garrett Wilson, the rookie, with his second TD in the game, his second TD of his career. And it's, I say, the most stunning moment, most unlikely, improbable moment, as the Jets rally from two touchdowns back in the final 2 minutes to beat the Browns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Though right now I only have one headphone operational, and so my headphones are not fully operational like the Death Star. So I don't even know if I can hear you. I suppose I can hear Jay, and I can hear me in the one headphone that's working. I have no idea if I can actually hear. I can hear audio too, so maybe I can hear phone calls, or maybe if I'm really lucky, I can't. I'm just kidding. I'm so kidding. Hey, let's talk about that Jets comeback for a minute. If you remember, and I don't know, Jay, if you still have that audio available from Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski on Tuesday. No, Monday. Sorry, my days are so blurred and jumbled together. I said to Jay when I was getting ready to come into work, What night is it? I'm so confused. I'm just really upside down. Monday, following that collapse by the Browns, because we can't call it anything else. It's absolutely a collapse. So Monday, the chatter becomes the Browns never would have seen the Jets come back. The Jets never would have had the opportunity to come back if Nick Chubb had fallen down shy of the goal line to run out the clock because the Jets had no more timeouts, instead of going into the TD or into the end zone, excuse me, for his third TD. I hate that argument. I hate it for so many reasons. First of all, it lets the defense off the hook. It lets special teams off the hook. Nick Chubb was doing his job in a masterful way. The Jets could not stop Nick Chubb. It has nothing to do with fantasy. It has nothing to do with anything other than as a football player, as an athlete, you're conditioned to score. It's not in your nature to stop shy of picking up more points. Every now and then, I can understand that. And what Kevin Stefanski said as he's having to answer questions about the Browns giving up the ghost, so to speak, about the Browns choking and losing this game in the final minute and 55, he says, oh, I should have told Nick Chubb. I should have told the offense not to score. Stop it. Are you kidding me? There's a reason why we don't see this happen very often. There's a reason why this was an unlikely, improbable, nearly unbelievable comeback. Do you know there's a reason why the Jets were the first team in over two decades to overcome a 13-point deficit in the last 2 minutes? So Nick Chubb shouldn't have scored, and that lets Cade York off the hook for missing the point after attempt. Otherwise, it would have been a 14-point lead. Nick Chubb shouldn't have scored, and somehow that lets the defense off the hook because Joe Flacco, who has cinder blocks for feet, finds Corey Davis wide open down the sideline for 66 yards. But it's Nick Chubb. That's why they lost the game. if only Nick Chubb hadn't have scored, then the Browns would have recovered the onside kick and not the Jets. Or maybe the defense would have stood up instead of allowing a 53-yard drive and Joe Flacco's second touchdown pass. It's Joe Flacco! It's not Josh Allen. It's not Patrick Mahomes. This isn't Chiefs, Bills, and 13 seconds to go. But that's what the Browns defense made Joe Flacco look like. So Kevin Stefanski having to answer the question on Monday.
Yeah, obviously, retrospect, you want to do anything that can secure the win. So that is something that's my responsibility to communicate to that huddle. You know, putting yourself up potentially 14 points inside of 2 minutes, you know, you should close out that game.
Yes.
So, I wish I had said that to Nick and Nick would have done it. But it doesn't change the fact that we had plenty of opportunities to win that game.
So that's Kevin Stefanski on Monday. And now Nick Chubb maybe feels like he has to claim responsibility for that loss.
I probably shouldn't have scored right there, honestly, looking back at it. It cost us the game.
No,
a lot
it
of things
didn't.
Went wrong. Not just one thing, but collectively as a unit, as a team, we could have all did things different. But, I mean, it's only a problem because we didn't win, you know, so I probably should have went down.
In what world would you rather have Nick Chubb not scoring his third touchdown? Only in a world where the Browns' defense and special teams can't protect a 13-point lead, actually should have been a 14-point lead, with a minute 55 to go. There's a reason why that was so stunning. Why bazillions of people lost on their survivor pools. Because that never happens. The game should have been over. Again, keep in mind, the Jets had no timeouts and still scored two touchdowns in under 2 minutes. I hate that Nick Chubb just took responsibility. Do you know what doesn't happen? The Browns don't win that game or get in a position to win that game if Chubb doesn't perform and score the way that he did. I can't believe anybody in that Browns locker room is allowing Nick Chubb to take responsibility for that loss, because that's ridiculous. They aren't in that game. They lose to the Jets straight up if Nick Chubb doesn't run the way he does on Sunday. Okay, that's 1 hour down, chugging through the overnight. It's the After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball, America's game. It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball
she is gone.
Comes home.
Is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus. Baseball, America's game. It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball
she is gone.
Comes home.
Hey, is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
Baseball, America's game.
The most dramatic moments in the history of sports.
It's about connection.
Leaps and makes the catch up against the wall.
And now, with Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball
she is gone.
Comes home.
Hey, is this happening? It is.
Friday Night Baseball, streaming on Apple TV Plus.